yesterday. There was a big rally in London in their support. The crisis has made a big impression on many people in this country, as the pupils of Drummond Community High School in Edinburgh discovered last week. Their biology teacher, famous throughout the school, I gather, for his fetching dreadlocks, the result of 11 years without a haircut, appeared at school with no hair at all and no shoes. Why did he do it? Well, Ewan Hardy is here to tell me. Why did you do it, Ewan?
I was just deeply moved by the situation out there, and I really wanted to make sure that it didn't disappear from people's consciousness, so I did something that I knew would grab the attention of my pupils and that would allow me to talk about it. And then the shoes, removing my shoes, came along as an idea that would remind them each time I walk up the playing field, because I realised that fairly quickly I would just be another bald guy, and that wouldn't...
Yes, because that is the problem, because your hairstyle at the moment, as I see it for the first time, is actually fairly trendy. It's the sort of shaved look. Well, what did you look like before?
Well, I had dreadlocks down to the base of my back.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's quite a big change.
And what was the reaction then when you walked into the biology class?
Well, the first thing is just, whoa, Hardy's cut his hair. Why did you do that? Followed by, whoa, why have you not got any shoes on?
Which is exactly the reaction you wanted,
which
of
is
course.
Precisely what I wanted.
Yeah.
And it allowed me to talk about it last week at great length, and I was really, really touched by the attention that I got from my pupils, having done something strange that got their attention. They then listened in a way that I've never experienced before in a classroom. The quality of attention that they brought to it was really quite amazing.
It's going to be a difficult trick to keep pulling off.
I think I'll have to chop off a limb if I want to experience that again.
What was it that so moved you about what's happening in Burma?
I think, first of all, it was a sense of real hope and optimism as I watched the story develop, and I really felt that perhaps here was an opportunity for democracy to be brought to a country without blood being spilt. And I thought, what a wonderful message that would be to our more aggressive world leaders who have attempted to bring democracy by force and have brought only chaos. And I thought, if these guys can do it in a peaceful manner, that's just such a resoundingly positive message. That was the first thing that tuned me into it, and then to learn that those people who had been peacefully protesting and asking for nothing more than their freedom were being brutally murdered just really hurt. And I found that feeling of pain and grief for what was going on there, accompanied by this sense of not being able to do anything about it, was almost impossible to carry. And the action that I've taken has freed me not from the grief, but from that feeling of helplessness, because if I'm doing something, it's something small, but it's allowing me to talk about it, and so I feel like I'm doing something.
And it's maybe not going to feel like something small as we get into a Scottish winter and you've got nothing. Have you got nothing in your feet just now? I can't see your feet. Oh, he's got his feet up. Yes, they are completely bare. You know, the weather's okay today. That's going to be tough.
It is. And I've said I'm going to do it and continue doing it until hopefully democracy is brought to that country.
That could be years, you know that.
I realise it could be years. And I've put a proviso on that. I'm not going to do it to the detriment of my health. So if it reaches the point where I get a cut and an infection, or that it's actually threatening my health, then I'm gonna have to rethink that.
What do your family think of this? Have you got a mother somewhere that's saying, "Oh, Ewan, for goodness sake, put your shoes on"?
She's not. She's been, like everyone else that I've spoken to, been incredibly supportive. Everybody that I've spoken to, I think, has understood very, very quickly why I'm doing what I'm doing. And in terms of the cold feet and the winter coming in, it is slightly uncomfortable, but all I'm risking is a little discomfort, and what those people were risking was their lives, and in comparison, what I'm doing pales into insignificance, really.
June's looking on sort of open-mouthed here.
Yes, well, it brings me back to my hymn, because one of the things it says in my hymn is that we'll work by our prayers and the offerings we bring, and the hymn's all asking about what on earth can a person bring. And I think the amount of attention you're bringing to this by your offering of bare feet and bare head is just amazing, because it's really going to communicate to the audience that you intended initially, but everyone else as well, especially all the mothers, I have to say.
Well, thank you very much, Ewan, for coming in and sharing that with us. And let's hope democracy comes quickly in Burma.
Thank you.
Here's Alison Krauss.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down. Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Come on, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
Alison Krauss with one of my favourites from the soundtrack of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Now, I don't know if you remember me talking